Good morning, and welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jade Thomas. We got Jill in the studio with me. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
And I think we got Rick joining us from somewhere around the world. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Where are you coming to from today?
Kelowna.
Kelowna. Back to Kelowna again. Right on. Yep. Okay. Probably you're just sitting there in the sunshine. Hey, Rick.
No, it's actually, it's been cloudy and kind of drizzling all week.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. So not quite as nice as before.
Rick, I just was wondering if you could talk a little bit about snow melt or salts and stuff like that. And the question that we get is, how does this affect your lawn? How does it affect your trees? Is there certain types that you should buy? Can you just touch a little bit on that for us?
Yeah, you want to look, it's a little more expensive, but I mean, you want to look for a salt that is more environmentally friendly for the landscape. Because if you just put regular rock salt or anything like that, I put a little bit on my driveway because I have basically a colored driveway, like this has color in the concrete. Mm-hmm. And I had a spot where it's a little bit low spots of water sat last year, so I threw some salt to some people coming over. And this last spring, all that area that I put the salt on, just that one spot, it started peeling. So salt is pretty harsh on everything. So, and even perennials, if you put perennials beside your sidewalk and you end up shoveling off that salt into the beds, it will kill the perennials as well. So, and it's also to get it on your feet and you're bringing it into hardwood floors, it's just hard on everything. So look for that type of the salt that's actually good in the environment and good, so it helps the plants so that they can survive that buildup of salts. If you just use a tiny little bit, it's not bad, but if you start pouring it on, it's even going to kill the grass alongside the driveway.
Yeah, you see that lots. You know, I even noticed it. I don't put salt down on my driveway, but there's enough that gets kind of brought on by the vehicles, you know, kind of moving in and out, that you shovel it off under the grass. And that little edge and strip of the grass, you know, first thing in the spring, it's kind of the most fried, and it takes the longest to kind of come back and green up, you know, throughout the summer. So, pouring a bunch of salt on isn't going to help, really.
Just take a look at some of the commercial properties, you know, the retail stores and the offices, where they pour a lot of it on because they're worried about slip and falls.
Yeah.
And you'll see the grass and everything else is totally dead. Or you drive along the main roadways where the snowplow is pushing off, and the grass is at least 3 or 4 feet away from the curb is usually dead. So from the salts. So even the junipers and cedars, you know, with that rain they had,
yep,
they'll take the moisture in through the needles as well. So, I mean, it's any kind of moisture is all good. Is the only problem with rain, you got to be careful that you're not trying to, you know, if there's been rain on there and some snow right after, you don't try to brush it off right away, because that ice encapsulated all the needles, and if you try to brush it off, it could just break them off. So that's why you have to be a little bit careful about that.
I got to look ahead to see what we're going to expect throughout this upcoming week. We could see possibly the S word is back in the forecast for the southern part of the province. Monday through Monday night, that sort of thing. In Saskatoon, I think it's going to be a little bit different. I think that there was I heard talk of a big system coming up. You know, there's always a bunch of apps on your phone, and you have to be careful with those, or it shows up on Facebook or, you know, Instagram. Yeah. And stuff. And sometimes they're doomsday sort of feeds that you know,
they
oh my gosh.
Change every day.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my gosh, there's, you know, 25 inches of snow coming.
I think that was last week. There was 30 centimeters of snow coming
right
on Monday,
right,
and we got us a little skiff.
Exactly. And so that forecast, I've kind of monitored it and sort of watched it over the past week. Mm-hmm. Looks like now it's moved mostly into the northern United States.
Yeah.
So Regina possibly could get some snow. They're calling for snow tomorrow night. Saskatoon just says cloudy now. So that's what it's changed to. Our highs, though, are starting to drop off. We're going to actually see real winter here. By the time we slide into next weekend, we're around that minus 15 mark for the high. So it's starting to cool off. A little bit of that.
With the warmer weather that we had last week, or with a little bit of snow, did you get your live greens into your pots? Did your wife end up doing
We didn't have time. I think we're planning on it this weekend coming up. So
I think that will still be fine. We did a lot of our corporate installs, getting all the hotels and restaurants all greened up last week. I have a few left to do this week. The challenge is going to be that the soil might be a little bit more frozen, so you can bring your pots inside a garage or something. Mm-hmm. The other thing that works too is my my dad has taken a blowtorch and shown me how to use a blowtorch to sort of thaw the soil a bit, but also putting a little auger end on a bit on your drill and then drilling into the soil to loosen it up. That's also another way that you can get into the pots a little bit.
So that's
bit
if you have
well
a pot of soil. The ones
I don't think I don't think we use a blowtorch though, Jim.
Oh, I did one time we did that at the garden center with you.
Yeah, we probably used a heater.
Like a
heat gun or something like that.
Yeah.
A blowtorch with peat moss inside there, you don't want to do that.
Right. Fair enough. I've actually the pots that I use that are on the front of my driveway, the big ones that stand next to my garage, I have an insert that goes in, like it's a growing insert, what you'd use at a garden center, right? But I find that when I plant my plants in them for the summer, that the coleus and the grasses and other stuff, it fills the pot with so many roots.
Yes.
I absolutely cannot even save the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is I just tip it upside down into the green bin. It all falls out together. There's so many roots.
Yeah.
There's nothing even left to save. So what I do is for the winter instead is my wife and I use the foam blocks.
The Oasis.
Oasis. So put that into that pot, put all the greens in there, water it in, then put it outside and it freezes. The same thing, I've got another one on the front step, and it's actually just full of sand. So it's just like play sand, very fine sand. I don't plant anything in it. I just have it specifically for Christmas. I bring it out, thaw it out, put all the greens in, and then the moisture that's in the sand just freezes it all in really nice.
Now, if your pot is really deep, when you dump that soil out and you have that big root ball, you can take a saw and cut the root ball in half and then just put the bottom half back into the pot and then put the florist foam on top, and then you're not having to fill it as deep as
possible. There you go.
Too.
Okay,
so,
cool.
Little tip.
So there's lots of ideas. You can use the soil that's in there if that's a possibility.
Yep.
It doesn't work for me. The foam, sand is another one you can use for the live greens in this specific case, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When it's warmer weather, you just want to make sure that you're watering your greens to make sure that they have some moisture or giving them a mist every once in a while. But as soon as they freeze in, they're pretty good for the season.
Gotcha. Okay, let's take a quick break. We're going to go to the text line when we get back. So it's time to give us a call or send us a text. 1-877-332-8255. We got one for from Mark already and one from Julie as well. So we'll get to those as soon as we're back. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Thanks for spending Sunday morning here with us. I'm Jay with Jill, who's in the studio. We got Rick, who's on the phone with us right now. So the whole gang's here together, and we got a couple texts to go through. 1-877-332-8255. We'll talk about a few more things. Christmas is coming up. We know that. So Christmas shopping is in full swing, and the whole getting a tree and greens. And we'll get to that in a second. But first, over to the text line. We had started talking about using salt on your driveway because parts of Saskatchewan have had a lot of freezing rain last couple of days. So Mark in Bigger asks us, what's a better alternative to salt, urea or the beet pellets? What do you think, Rick?
Probably the beet pellets. I notice you places like the Costco's and that kind of stuff are actually using a sugarcane juice and those kind of things. And they use that quite a bit even here in, because they've got ice problems around Kelowna here. Even the city's using that quite a bit. Instead of using salt, they're using more of a beet juice and even the parking lots and that kind of stuff. And beet juice or a sugarcane a liquid type of a product. And it works pretty good. I mean, you go to most Costco's, unless it's actually snowing, the parking lot's always clear.
It's funny because it stays wet a lot colder, I notice, than, say, salt. You know, like salt works down to a point, minus 10 or something like that, right?
And that's the same as sugarcane stuff. It'll only work if it's at minus 40. It's not going to work that
right. But I noticed that more at that minus 18, minus 20 mark, just from my memory, that, you know, those parking lots that are using that sugarcane stuff, it's still wet. It's not, it hasn't refrozen over. It seems to work down to a colder temperature. I think there's some logistics with why the cities choose not to use it on the streets. I'm not, you know, don't know the answer for that, but yeah, like the beet pellets would be for Mark and Bigger be a great way to go. Right. And that's going to be easy on plants and stuff too. Right.
Yep. And also maybe some of the people that are listening, they all have a home remedy or something else that would work. Just give us a call in or text and let us know.
Okay, 1-877-332-8255. Julie is in Battleford, and she's one of our regulars. Raised strawberry ring is her text. So she says, usually protect with bags of leaves. This year, the wind blew all the leaves away. I wish that was my problem. That wasn't the case in my yard. Is an insulated tarp big enough to cover the sides feasible? Thinking we'd need to put something light colored on top of it to reflect the sunlight. If it's not feasible, what are the other options? Straw bales, peat moss. So it's protecting those strawberry rings.
Well, what my question is, that the strawberry ring that she's talking about, are you talking about a planter that's above ground?
That's normally what they're talking about, is a raised ring.
It's going to be tricky unless you have a good, like, almost like a straw bale on each side surrounding it. Like, that's quite a thick, like a 2-foot straw bale. And Rick, correct me if you're wrong there, but I would probably even be more apt to dig a hole in the ground, maybe put some burlap or something like that around my strawberry ring and then bury it back up and then put insulation over the top. Anything in Saskatchewan in a pot above ground, it's going to be very tricky to keep that unless you have an insulated tarp or something like that over top of it. Just a regular tarp, not really going to do much.
If you use the insulated tarp, it works good, but then what you can do is put a second silver tarp over top of it, and then the silver tarp will reflect the sun as well. Or if you're going to use just a regular tarp over top, and then if you can put the straw over top of the tarp and then get it to stay there, I used to use plastic and flax straw.
Okay.
And that worked very well for covering up my plants.
Yeah, absolutely. But with this one, I would say this is a little bit more of a gardener's challenge. You're going to have to test it out in your area, see if you're going to get it to survive. But anything above ground in a pot in Saskatchewan, we usually say not really going to do so well.
Let's just say for argument's sake that this is a strawberry patch that's in a raised garden bed.
Garden bed?
Like a garden box.
Yeah, if the garden box is maybe only a foot off the ground and you're insulating around it, then you might be okay with that.
Okay, all right. Okay, perfect. 1-877-332-8255. Now we will get back to the text line in a second because we got a call that's come in and Susan is in Regina. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
Hi there. What's your questions for us?
Two questions.
Okay.
The first one, it's been so nice here and so warm, some of my perennials have decided that it might be spring and they're regrowing. What do I do to protect them now that the weather is going to really drop off and get cold?
Yeah, they will shut down again. The only thing that I would watch for is the types of perennials. If they've grown too much, and you might lose, if they're early bloomers or something, if you... you might lose some of the blooming power of them for next year a little bit. But you're probably not going to lose the plant. What I would do is try and get some insulation or mulch over top of it. They're going to get hit by this frost again. They're going to die back down. And then in the spring, you can just cut them back down to ground level and they'll probably grow back for you.
Okay. I cover them a bit.
Yeah. We haven't had really, really cold temperatures yet. So it's not like we're hitting like minus 20, minus 30 that they're going to grow up and then they're going to get hit by this heavy frost and going to kill the whole plant. You're just going to get all that new growth that's going to die again.
Okay. I might give them a bit of protection.
Yeah, but if you can slow down on the watering in that area, that definitely helps in the fall, so that you slow down on the watering maybe a little bit earlier next year so that they can shut down a little bit faster.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, they didn't shut down. I did cut them right down.
Yeah, and then they started back up again.
Yeah.
I have a few cannas and also Japanese maples in my garage, and they had completely shut down, and I put them into my garage, and I don't have my garage heated quite yet, but they've all started to grow up, and my cannas are now about 2 feet tall, so I've got to deal with that again.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was my other question, was about canna lilies.
Mm-hmm.
I've never had one before. I saw one on sale for $5, couldn't resist.
Yes.
And it just grew massively. It's huge, and it flowered really nice. So I didn't know what to do. I just brought it into my basement. I don't have a heated garage.
Okay.
And it's starting just now to die back a bit.
So now that it's dying back, I would probably wait for it to die back a little bit more. Don't water it, and then cut it off. And then I'd actually lift it out of that pot if you want to. You can leave it in the pot, but it's more apt to not grow if you take it out of the pot and just store it in like a cold storage area. You can even put it in a crisper of a fridge just away from any vegetables or fruits.
Oh boy, that would be way too big.
It would be way too big. Or if you have like a dark corner of a basement or of a corner of the garage, you could always do that. Maybe put some insulation around it. That would be another way that you can store it for the winter.
And so you're going to cut it back down so it's just a bulb,
so
right?
It's just a bulb. And then if you are to lift it out of the soil, you'll clean all the soil off the bulb, clean some of the extra roots so that you just have this nice firm bulb.
Oh, okay.
And then you can store that in a paper bag with some peat moss or sawdust.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds great. Thank you so much for your help.
Thanks
no
for the call, Susan.
Take care.
Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, let's go to our next text here that's come in. We'll squeeze it in before the news update coming up. Bobby, who's in Emerald Park near Regina, says, good morning, guys. I've got a towering poplar that's 25 years old. This year, its leaves never got really very green, and there were no leaves on the top third. I also have a large 25-year-old weeping birch that dropped its leaves in early September. Moisture issues. Thanks to all three of you for those of us who don't have a green thumb. Well, Bobby, I'm sure you still do have a green thumb, but thanks for saying that. Let's start with the first one, guys. What do you think? The towering poplar is 25 years old, not very green, and no leaves to the top third.
Yeah, you have a poplar borer. That's going to be almost 99%. That's what it is. So it's an insect that drills into the bark and then mines the underneath the bark, and so that there's no moisture going to the top of the tree. So eventually that tree will just die out. You're best off just to cut all the dead parts off, right off, and then get those branches out of the yard. You may have to go down into the where the parts where it's green still, because that's where the borer will be. And actually this time of the year, the borer is actually in the soil. And then it'll go back up in the spring and lay its eggs, and this borer will start again. But that tree is on its way out. So that's the sad part of it. But I mean, that's the cycle of the poplars. 25 years for those poplars, to 25 to 35 years is about the life cycle of those fast growing poplars. So there's not much you can do with that. With the birch tree, they like lots of moisture. So if you didn't give it at least once a month a good deep watering, then it would want to shut itself down in the fall a little bit quicker. So next year, make sure, because when you do that, it actually attracts the borer to the birches. A different borer, it's called a birch borer. And so next year, you want to give it some fertilizer. You're going to run the drip line of the tree. And when you do your watering, get the drip line of the tree too, which is on the outer edge. Do that the best you can, because sometimes there's concrete or street or whatever. So just do as much as you can around the drip line of the tree, and that will help the trees to get through the drought and also keep insects away.
Okay, we're going to stop it right there. Great time to give us a call or a text, 1-877-332-8255. Second half of the show is coming up right after this news update. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Okay, now I normally start the show with this question, but what's going on in the garden center right now?
Well, last week we had our open house. It was such a fun day. It was on Thursday, and It was packed in the garden center. Everybody was in the Christmas spirit. We had some alpacas come and visit us so people could take pictures with the Christmas alpacas.
I saw that, yeah.
We had a craft for I say kids, but there was more adults doing the craft than kids. People were picking up their Christmas trees. Live greens were there. Poinsettias, Grinch trees. People asking how to make Grinch trees. And then still people coming in now that the leaves have fallen off their tree, asking some questions about, what's wrong with my tree? I see a little bit of black knot, or I see fungus is growing here, or maybe this branch isn't growing straight, or there's crossing branches. How do I prune this? So a lot of those types of questions coming in right now. It is the season. Can you believe we're only like less than 6 weekends away from Christmas?
Oh, it's crazy. Well, it's the 23rd today of November.
So maybe we can throw it out to our listeners too. As a gardener, what would you like for Christmas?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Let's get our Christmas lists going on the air. So that's another thing that people are coming in for, is just Christmas gift ideas.
But coming in to get that big smell of all the fresh greenery, the pine smell, you know, that's something else too.
Yeah.
So the whole place is set up now. You got all your Christmas trees out. All the greens are out.
All the greens are out. Christmas is going, the music is playing, we're in the spirit, that's for sure. We got our little elf hats on.
Right on. 1-877-332-8255. While I asked that question, this just came to mind. Tell me the hours then that you guys are open. So if people like today are listening right now, Okay, I think I got to go get greens for my pots and stuff.
Yeah, so we're open from 10 till 6, Monday through Saturday. But on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday nights now, we're open till 8 o'clock. So extended hours, and then Sundays from 10 till 5.
Okay, so extended hours, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And it's been so fun. We had so much interest this year in people doing like little make and take classes with their maybe a corporate Christmas party or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And usually I'd be like, oh, stop on our website and check out the classes. They all sold out. So there is no more classes that you can do. But if you need ideas of how to put things together or want little kits made up, they can definitely do that for you.
And your shipments come in every Thursday, right?
Every Thursday. And we're getting two. So we've been getting one on Saturday and one on Thursday just because we haven't been able to keep up with the demand. So
if we showed up like today, there'll still be some stuff left from Thursday?
There'll still be some stuff. We actually got a shipment yesterday as well, too, to top us up. So, but they're having trouble keeping up to the demand in BC right now, so they're trying to get us little bits twice a week now.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Okay. But he's very particular, my forger. He likes things nice and fresh, so he doesn't want to have it stored for too long, so he'll cut and rather ship twice a week rather than have it arrive and been sitting in a warehouse. So
that's dedication.
It is dedication.
Right?
Yeah.
Totally. 1-877-332-8255. Rick, why don't we just walk through what to do with a Christmas tree right now? Like if you pick one up, is it too soon to put it up, decorate it? A live Christmas tree, I'm talking, of course. Do we have enough time to still get to Christmas if we set it up right now?
Well, some people are trying, but I mean, most of the people are the ones that are going to go away, you know, for Christmas, so they want to put it up early. But it's a little bit early yet if you're going to put it up and you want to keep it up until New Year's, or if some people like to make Ukrainian Christmas, you don't want to put it up now.
Right. Okay.
I usually say once you have your tree up, you have a good 3 weeks with your tree where it's looking nice. And then after that, if you don't touch it, it still looks nice.
So if you got 3 weeks of it looking really nice, right? Okay. You can pick up a tree. What do we do with the tree right now from picking it up till, say, we set it up with 3 weeks before Christmas?
Well, first of all, making sure that you choose the right tree. So when you're picking out your tree, you want to be feeling the needles and sort of pulling on them a bit. They shouldn't be falling off and just falling onto the ground. So they should be hanging onto the tree when you sort of wipe them with your hands.
Okay.
The other thing is if you lift the tree up, you want to be feeling the weight of that tree. If you pick the tree up and you're like, oh, this is going to be easy to throw in the back of my truck, it's nice and light. That tree doesn't have very much water stored in that trunk anymore. Mm-hmm. So you want to look for a nice heavy tree is what you're looking for as well. Also, the uniformity and the shape of the tree is something you might want to look for as well, too. And then when you get it home, you can either get it, if it's going into the water as soon as you get it home, you can get them to cut it at the garden center or the shop where you're doing it.
Tree stand, all that, yeah.
But if you are maybe waiting a couple hours or maybe you're picking it up in the morning and it's not going in till the evening, you might want to do another fresh cut right before you put it in the water.
How much are we cutting off?
I would cut off at least 2 inches. Rick, what would you say, an inch to 2 inches?
Yeah, like it depends on the tree, but most time you want to take off about 2 inches. Mm-hmm. It might mean you might have to take some of the lower branches off to fit it into your stand, but you want to be able to get enough suction to so that the water, you know, enough fresh cells that it'll water will suck up into the tree, because it will suck up a lot of water in the first 72 hours, a lot. So you want to make sure that stand stays full for the whole time.
Yeah, you remember, like, the tree calluses over in shipping, so you want to cut off all that callus part so you have open pores that it can just keep soaking it up. And that's partly why we put that Christmas tree additive in there. It just helps it soak it up a little bit better and keeps those pores open as well, too.
Okay, all right, good.
And sometimes what to do, if you let it dry out, especially if you let it dry out for a day or two because you forget, what will happen is that when you put more water in, you'll actually get an air gap caught in the cell so the plant can't suck the water up properly. And so that's why it's important to keep that Christmas tree stand full at all times.
Gotcha. Okay, let's get back to that in a second. We got some calls that are ready to go here. So first up is Ian, who's in Saskatoon. Hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm okay. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yourself?
Pretty good. What's your question for us?
Well, so in the spring, you know, when you use grow lights and the little you know, plastic containers, and you get your plants going to put them out, you know, like four, five, 6 weeks ahead of time, whatever. That's fine. But what do you do, or like, is a person limited to what they can do, like, say, in the winter? You know, like, if you wanted to grow a tomato plant, like, a, you know, they can get 3 feet tall. So, how do you do that? Like, you... Like, or are you limited just kind of to, like, lettuce and, you know, and shorter things? Like,
well, definitely, like, leafy greens and herbs and lettuce and even some of your sprouts, those would be the ideal things to grow in indoors because they have such a short lifespan to get them to their full size. So you're not needing to provide them with the nutrients for a long period of time. That's the trickier part. So the light to get it up to full before you're harvesting, you're maybe talking about a couple months max, right? Whereas a tomato, you're looking at a good 4 months to final from starting of the seed till the end. So you're going to need to make sure you create those conditions as if it was outside. So you're starting with a small pot, you're putting into a larger pot. When you're watering in a pot, you need to have the light on it. Make sure it's a grow light, that you're having 14 to 16 hours of light so you can put a timer on it. And then making sure that you're fertilizing it. And a lot of times indoors, we fertilize our plants less just because we're just not used to it. But when we're outside, you have to remember that there's no other nutrients in that soilless mix. So you'll need to make sure you have the right fertilizer mix. You can definitely do it. You just got to make sure you allow this enough space, enough fertilizer, and then enough sunlight for those areas.
And if you, do you get an earthy smell after, if you're doing it longer than like 5-6 weeks?
Like an earthy smell as far as...
In the house.
I think so, just because you have soil and humidity and all of those things in your home, right? So it would just be like you're growing in a greenhouse. When you go walk into a greenhouse, you smell a little bit of that earthiness. So you would have that just due to the fact that you have the humidity around, you do have the soil. You are going to be dealing with different things, like make sure you have some nematodes on hand so that you can deal with fungus gnats, because that's going to be a cycle just from having moisture and soil and everything in your home,
yeah,
right?
So you mentioned humidity. Like, like I was thinking, if a person got, 5 or 6 or 7, 8, whatever, 5 gallon pails.
Yep.
And tried to do hydroponic. Well, your humidity would probably go crazy doing it that way, would it not?
Yeah, it depends on your ventilation and everything like that in your home, too. If you wanted to, you could put a dehumidifier near something, too, but a lot of plants enjoy the humidity as well, too. So
yeah. Do you sell books at the store on any of this?
We don't sell books anymore. We found that the internet kind of petered out the books, but if you go to the bookstores, there's great gardening sections. If you go to any bookstore, and you'll be able to find some information on indoor gardening. You'll usually see more indoor gardening in like the Midwest, or like the maybe authors from like the upper U.S. areas. There's not much I've seen on indoor gardening up in Canada, so you just might have to adjust your lighting a little bit.
I remember reading or hearing or whatever on the news about some in the Yukon, I think it is, maybe Whitehorse.
Yep.
Where they've actually got big warehouses where they're trying to grow food up there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, just because shipping's so expensive to get it all up there, right? So
the other thing, I'm not sure if you're a podcast listener, but there's lots of great podcasts on indoor gardening as well, too. So you can always look that up.
I've been hearing more and more. I've never listened to a podcast, or not that I know of, anyways.
Yep.
And then the other thing is, with regards to seeds, where do I get spicy asparagus that goes in my Caesar?
You'd have to like make that.
Okay, so, I just thought, well, you know, save having the process.
Yeah, so you're going to have to, if you want the spicy asparagus, you're going to have to grow the asparagus. I find asparagus grows best from a root instead of a seed. So I'd buy the root in the spring and then plant it out in your yard. And then to get it spicy, you got to put the right ingredients in that jar at the end of the season.
The other thing I'll mention, Ian, really quick before we go to our break, is that if you haven't been to Gardenscape, like the trade show,
yeah,
that oftentimes there's lots of hydroponic people that sell hydroponics, mm-hmm, specifically for growing lots of neat stuff indoors. They have systems that are all set up, and they're the experts at it. So that's a good place if you haven't ever seen that stuff there or been to that show in Saskatoon, is check that show out, because I know every year there's somebody displaying a really neat hydroponic system like that stand like 4 or 5 feet tall that you can grow all kinds of things
in. And they're meant to sustain something indoors that way.
With lights, mm-hmm, and the whole works, yeah, all set up, ready to go.
And Gardenscape happens in Saskatoon the end of March every year.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Have a good weekend.
You too. Take care. All right. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. Brian and Virginia, hang on. We're going to get to your questions as soon as we get back, but we have to go to our break. So, Brian, you'll be up first. Just stay on the line for us. Same thing, Virginia. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Last segment. Here we go, Garden Talk. It's Sunday. Welcome back. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. 1-877-332-8255. We got Jill and Rick here, and we got Brian, who's in Saskatoon. Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. I've got three massive poplars in my backyard. They got to be getting darn near 100 feet now. To the point, my neighbor to the north of me, it's actually blocking a lot of the sun from his garden. Now, could I chop off the top 30 or 40 feet of those without stressing the tree too much?
Once you cut them off, it will stress the tree. There's no doubt about that. I mean, but they will be okay, but it will stress them. So you have to make sure that you keep them well hydrated, you know, during that, especially the first 2 years while they basically adapt to their new height and that. But yeah, you can cut them down, but it definitely, when you cut them like that, it does stress them a bit.
When's the best time to do that? Summer months?
Actually, probably right now. Actually, a good time to do it is right now when they're dormant. If you're doing that kind of a major of a cut, then right now in November is a great time to do it.
How about early spring, Rick? What do you think?
Yeah, if you're going to do it in early spring, I'd do it in March. Once you start getting in April, the sap start running again, and it'll bleed a bit. So you're best to do it either in November or March.
There's nothing you can put over that cut to make it bleed less?
No, just cut it on an angle and let it heal itself.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Brian. Take care. 1-877-332-8255. We're going to go to Shelbrook right now and talk to Virginia. Hi, Virginia. How are you?
Oh, not too bad.
Excellent.
I received the rhododendron for Mother's Day this spring, and I didn't want to put it out in the flower bed for various reasons. And I end up, now I've got it in the house here, and it's about 2 feet tall with all the green leaves still on it. Well, not all. A few of them turned red, and then they dropped off. But anyway, what do I do with it now? We have no cold basement. We've got a warm basement. It's for Aglo. Weston's Aglo, and it's 34 temps to 34, so I'm scared to. I didn't dare put it out and
right.
And try to insulate it. So anyway, any suggestions?
You go ahead, Rick, on this one, the rhododendron.
Okay, it's probably, I'm not sure if rhododendron is an outdoor rhododendron or is it an azalea, do you know? If it's an indoor azalea, you treat that different than a rhododendron. So,
well, it says, I don't know, perennial.
Was it in a large nursery pot when you got it, or was it in like more of a six-inch
pot? It's in a fairly big pot.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, so just treat it like you would in plant. You can put it in a place where it's a bit dark, and maybe one room that you might have a room that's a bit cooler than the rest, you know. That'd be the best one. And then just don't water very much, and just water, you know, if you stick your finger in the soil, you want to feel just a little bit of moisture, but almost in the dry side, but just a touch of moisture, and keep it there. And then if you want to, basically in January, February, you can bring it upstairs and you can start treating it like a houseplant if you want, and then put it out in the spring.
Okay.
But you got yourself a gardener's challenge on your hand there. So it will be, this is going to be a hobby plant for you. It's going to be a challenge to be like, can I keep this till next spring?
And make sure you get an acid-based fertilizer or some aluminum sulfate, because they do like a soil. Our water, especially, I don't know where you're calling from, but in the water in Saskatchewan, in a lot of places, is a little more alkaline. And so you want to give it a little more acid base to it. So then just a couple, 3-pinch, at least every couple of weeks around the plants of the powder of the aluminum sulfate and water it in, they'll love that.
That would be after I get it out in the garden, I'm presuming.
No, even if you bring it upstairs in February and start growing even a little bit on top of the pot.
What about coffee grounds? I thought you said that coffee grounds were kind of acidic.
Yeah, you could put a little bit of that too. That won't hurt it at all.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Best of luck, Virginia. Thanks for calling.
I need it.
Good luck. Take care. Okay. Bye-bye. 1-877-332-8255. But that's the end of the show. Here we go. We're done. A couple of texts we didn't get to. We'll get them answered off the air here. So thanks for joining us. Get those greens going and buy that tree. And we'll be talking about Christmas as the weeks go on here. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. Thanks for listening to Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.